Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the Radio Shepherd welcoming you to the Love Remnant Tabernacle radio broadcast, where today I'm going to deliver unto you Friday's word of encouragement. Open your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 on Monday, the word of encouragement came unto you from Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18 reads, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That was Monday's word of encouragement. Then on Wednesday, I spoke to you from Psalm 34:19, the following verse: "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all." That was Wednesday's word of encouragement. Today's word of encouragement comes from the last verse in Psalm 34. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Desolate. Powerful. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for it seems as though based on Psalm 34, verse 22, that our subject matter of today is you are our Redeemer. And the lead hymn, the hymn that introduced this broadcast, spoke about how we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, speak to us today by means of this text and encourage us. Lift up our spirits. We may be at this point in time just about ready to give up on life, but we know that a timely word sent from above resurrects the soul that has been brought low. Resurrect us, Lord. Inspire us. Empower us. In Jesus' precious name, amen, 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 and amen. Interesting enough, if we go back to verse 10 very, very briefly, It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. One would think that having a broken heart is the worst thing that one can have. But I would argue that it is not. Now, granted, having a broken heart is devastating. No one will deny that it's a painful thing to have a broken heart and to be of a contrite spirit. Oh, devastating. But that's not the believer's biggest problem. And despite one having a broken heart, the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such. He saves. So even when your spirit is pulverized or contrite, and even when your heart is smashed into itty bitty bitty pieces, God saves. And then one can argue based on the following verse that it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. One could argue that the greatest pain in one's life would be afflictions. The afflictions of the righteous. But then the text tells us, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So, yes, afflictions are real. Pressures are real. Crises are real. No one's going to deny them. They're real. They're tangible things. But out of them, too, the Lord delivers. So whether it's a broken heart or whether they are the pressures of life, one survives them because the Lord is on one side. In fact, I would even argue that there are a great many people who don't serve the Lord, who have broken hearts, who are limping along. There are those who don't know the Lord and are in the midst of afflictions. They go from one affliction to another affliction to another. They go from one crisis to another. And yet, they don't serve the Lord, and they seem to survive every crisis. And of course, they survive, but they're living crushed lives. So people do survive or learn to exist or learn to manage broken hearts. People learn to manage crisis. They even learn to live with crisis. Take a battered woman. I've heard of battered women who have lived battered for 20 years. They have learned to cope. They've learned to cope. They've learned to cope with afflictions and pressures. They've learned to cope with broken hearts. But you see, in verse 22, it speaks of our greatest problem. What's the greatest problem that man has? The greatest problem that man has is that man is a sinner. See, man is what? A sinner. And you can't cope with sin. You're not. When the day of reckoning comes, when the day of judgment comes, you're not going to be able to say, well, I'll survive sin. Because you won't be able to. Why? Because sin hangs around the sinner's neck like an albatross, like an anchor. Think of an anchor hanging around your neck, and they're about to throw you overboard. Once they throw you overboard, you don't survive that. And so on judgment day, he who is a sinner and has his sins wrapped around his or her neck will never survive judgment day. But look what the Bible says in verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Now, I would argue that based on today's word of encouragement, your biggest problem, my biggest problem, was sin. But our covenant God, the Lord, Yahweh, it says that he redeemeth. He ransomed. The Hebrew word padah, P-A-D-A-H, padah is a verb, which means that he ransomed. God ransomed your soul. by having his son pay the highest price. See, again, the Lord, the covenant God. What did God promise to do for the Old Testament covenant saints? What did he promise to do for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samuel, Solomon? What did God promise to do for Old Testament believers? He promised at some point in time that he would send the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He redeemed, and so now he has redeemed the souls of his servant, whether they lived in the Old Testament or whether they live now, today. He redeemeth. What did he do? He ransomed the souls of his what? Of his servants. He paid the price. He delivered up his only son that you and I would not have to pay for our sins. That anchor that was around your neck, once Jesus died that and you accepted him, that anchor was removed from your neck. What does God do? He redeems what? The soul. What's the most important part of you? And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world yet loseth his what? Soul. The soul is the real you. When you go to a funeral parlor and you're looking at someone who is lying in a casket, that's not the real them. That body in that casket is the shell of the person. The real person has gone before the presence of God. That's where the real person has gone. They have gone to meet their maker. And the old Westerns, when someone's about to get shot, or when someone's about to get hanged for robbing horses, for being a horse thief, they say, we're sending you to meet your maker. And once the lever is pulled and those bodies go down and the rope stretches out the neck, seconds later, that person, after right immediately when they give up the ghost, they go meet their what? Their maker. And now the body's still there, the body's still hanging on the rope, and you say, well, he went to go meet his maker, but he's still there. Well, that's not the real him. You see, what's hanging there is his shell. That's the horse thief's shell. His body is the shell. Your shell is what gets put 6 feet under. That's not the real you. The real you is your soul. Your soul contains your personality. Nephesh in Hebrew, the real you. So what does God redeem? He redeems what you can't redeem, because you can never work for your salvation. You can never earn enough to pay to redeem your soul. So God had to ransom your soul, not by good works that you could accomplish, but by the death of his son on the cross. So the Lord redeemeth the souls of whom? Who does he redeem the souls of? Those that work. See, he says his servants. Who are his servants? Those that worship God. If you are a continuous worshiper of God, if you seek God the way the deer panted after the water brook, if you are constantly in search of God, like Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was no more, for it pleased God to rapture Enoch. God will rapture his servants. Those that worship him, those that are in fellowship with him, those that walk with him. So David says in this psalm, there's cause to praise God. There is cause to praise. Remember, he starts out Psalm 34 by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's cause to praise God, because if you thought that your broken heart was your biggest problem, or that the pressures and the crises of life are your biggest problem, that's not your biggest problem. Sin is your biggest problem. And as David closes out this psalm, the Holy Spirit leads him to conclude that God has dealt with your biggest issue, and your issue is sin. Your sins, my brothers and sisters, my sin is our biggest issue. So the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant God, What does he do? He padas. He redeems. He ransoms. He delivers the soul of his servants. Plural. Now, what I love about the word servant is in plural form, which means that God is in the business of redeeming. And he does this for all of his children. All his servants are redeemed. There's no first-class servants and second-class and third-class. No, we all get redeemed. All his servants. Whether you're a big tither or a little tither, whether you're a non-tither, makes no difference. He redeems your soul, the souls of his servants. Because with God, it's never about money. It's always about the heart. And then the psalmist goes on to say, none, and the word none in Hebrew is an adverb, and it simply means no, not one. No, not one person who will trust. And that word trust in Hebrew is hasah, it's a verb, it's H-A-S-A-H, H-A-S-A-H, hasah. And you know what it means? It means to take refuge, to seek and take what? Refuge. You know, back when the Germans were blitzing London in World War II, and they were dropping bombs from the sky, the people of London had to seek underground. They had to go underground. They had to go into the tube, what they call the transit system, the railroad system. And so they had to go underground. And those who did not seek to go underground, those who did not take refuge underground, were destroyed in the bombing. So the Bible says, no, not one person who puts their trust, who seeks God and takes refuge in him, shall be what? Desolate. Desolate. Now, the interesting thing about the word desolate is that desolate has nothing to do with really destroying. Well, for example, look at Psalm 18. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are what? Of a broken heart. Notice the word broken. So when one thinks that something is desolate, one thinks that something is broken. But if one came to that conclusion, one would be amiss. One would have come to the wrong conclusion. Then it says, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. And really the word affliction really means pressures of life that crush. So if one thinks that one is desolate because someone is being crushed by something, that too would be a wrong conclusion. The word desolate is a legal term. It has to do with being found guilty and then being condemned and sentenced to death. So notice, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the psalmist says the Lord ransoms the souls of those who worship him. None of them that seek refuge in him shall be what? Desolate. What does the word desolate mean? It means not to be found guilty, not to be condemned, not to be sentenced to death. That's what it means. That's what it means. So notice. In Romans 5:1 it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace, justified, which means, it's a legal term in the Greek, it means to be given right standing. When you're in court and you have right standing, you can go free. You're not guilty. They're not going to put the cuffs on you and haul you off to prison. You are, when you are justified, you're declared not guilty. So what did the Lord do for you and me? He dealt with our biggest problem. What was our biggest problem? Sin. You and I were supposed to pay for our sins, but he redeemed, he ransomed our souls when he gave up his son as the ultimate sacrifice, as the ultimate payment for our sins. He redeemeth the souls of who? Everybody? No. Not everybody, but the souls of those who worship him. And none that seek him and take refuge in him shall ever be found what? Guilty, shall never be told they're condemned, and shall never be put to death in a spiritual sense. So there you have it, my brothers and sisters. We should bless the Lord at all times. Praise shall continually be in my mouth, in your mouth. Why? Because we take encouragement over the fact that our Lord has died. Jesus died on your behalf. He died on my behalf. And what did he do when he died? He redeemed our souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged? I'm encouraged to know that my biggest issue, my biggest problem has already been dealt with. Who dealt with it? Who removed that problem forever? Jesus did. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sins of the world." But in order to have the sins of the world taken away, each person in the world has to put their trust in him, which doesn't happen. Which means Jesus paid for everybody's sins, but not everybody accepts him. Not everyone becomes his servant. Not everyone worships the Lord. But to those who worship the Lord, to those who, like in the bombing of London, when the bombs are coming, they go down and seek refuge. To those he saves, to those he redeems, to those he sets free from sin and death. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but so my car note is due. That's not a big problem. My big problem was sin. That's been dealt with. That's been, brothers and sisters, let us take comfort in knowing that we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. You and I have been what? Redeemed. Now listen, I want to encourage you. Help me get the word out. Tell others about this radio broadcast, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. On all kinds of levels, we are trying to get the word out only because the Lord is stirring us up, stirring us to reach out to all kinds of people that belong to him, his sheep that are herding sheep. Help me get the word out. Tell others about the broadcast. Show them on your computer how they can log on. Many people don't know how to do it. Show them how to do it. Help them. We believe that God has called us for such a time as this. We are convinced, me and my little staff here, we're convinced that this is what God would have us to do in this hour. Why? Because when Jesus looked at the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And if you know anything about this radio church, all we do here is remind you that Jesus is your Lord and Bishop of your souls. We are completely committed. We are completely committed with having you reengage in your relationship with Jesus. Because in many of the churches that many of you come from, they purposely detached you from Jesus. Now it's our job to reconnect you to the Lord your God, the Lord that redeemeth your soul, the Lord that delivereth you from all of your afflictions, the Lord who has promised, to be your present and future Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't forget, you need to bear this in mind, dear saints, that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is entirely listener supported. So whatever gifts you make, whatever gifts you send, whether you do it through PayPal or you do it through the mail and you have it there on the screen where you can send your love gifts, please know that we are listener supported and we need your love gifts in order to continue to do what we're doing. Well, I want to close today's word of encouragement by playing this hymn, "There is a Redeemer." And you know who that Redeemer is. It's the Lord. Don't forget to tune in Sunday for a great message. Until then, this is Radio Shepherd tuning off, saying, "The Lord keep you, bless you, and watch over you until we meet again." Listen to this wonderful hymn, "There is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus."